it's a popular story, but I feel like the most important part gets overlooked. Stop early. Is everybody likes to stop when the demons are cast out and the pigs run to the water, but it doesn't stop there. One of my favorite parts is, let me have the scripture pulled up. It says, here we go. As Jesus was getting onto the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell how Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Whenever we get broken free of things, or whenever we break through into like a different spiritual realm, I know I do it for every altar service. I want to stay in the altar as long as I can because I know what's going to be out there when I go. I know the world's going to be out there, and honestly, sometimes don't want to go out there and face it. I want to stay under God's wing, and I want to be protected by him. But it's no accident how church services are set up. The altar service is at the end because immediately you're going to go out into the world with the new power that you have. We're not made to stay up close. We're made to go out into the world and spread what we've gotten from him. And the second thing was completely, it felt really random, but it wasn't. It was the woman who was caught in adultery and brought to Jesus while he was teaching. And just the one scripture that popped into my mind was, "And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and they had set her in the midst." And I feel like the enemy was so confident that they had gotten her and they were going to get her punished for what she was going to do. But all they were doing, they were leading her right to the feet of Jesus. They thought that was their biggest mistake. They're going to put her down at the feet of Jesus thinking that she was going to get punished. But all she found was redemption right there. The enemy's going to bring us down. The enemy's going to knock us down to our feet. That gives us the perfect opportunity to get redemption. And I think that is just so amazing. That's what we need to do whenever people try to knock us down. And this one's kind of heavy. I ain't even going to lie. here we go. It was towards the end of the worship service, and I taught a lesson on a Wednesday night called Victims and Victors. And it was, talking about how you want to basically take what situation you're going through, if you want to become a victim of it or if you want to be a victor. And I talked about it, but what had popped into my mind and the words along with it, I think that God had shown me, was something I didn't really want to experience and want to bring back up. But from the reaction I've been shown, I think I need to. At NAYC, there was a testimony, and Brian talked about it. It was of a family whose dad died of a heart attack and was dead for a long time, and then was brought back to life. And whenever they told that, everybody went nuts. And I didn't know, because most people know. If you don't, my dad passed away of a heart attack. And immediately, that was a sensitive subject for me. And the devil knew that. And so he started working. He said, "Well, he didn't do that for you." So, So right there, I was at a crossroads. I knew right then I could become a victim of it. I could wallow in it. I said, "Well, he didn't do anything for me. My dad's dead. I mean, he didn't do that for me. He could have done it, but he didn't. He doesn't love me." But at that moment, I knew I had to stand up and I had to worship, because I knew even though he didn't do that for me, he brought me through so much more. And he gave me a testimony that I could share to other people. And so there's no circumstance and there's no situation that could define what you are. It's all about how you decide to handle it and who you turn to. You could turn to the world and you could turn to yourself and be a victim of it, or you could turn to God and become a victor of it. So thank you. That's all I got.
Ooh, come on, somebody stand up. Actually, everybody stand up. Praise God. Praise God. Ooh. God has got something for somebody in this house tonight. Come on, I wish somebody would just take a step out of your pew right now and you would step out in faith, not because what you feel like doing, but because of faith. I wish somebody could just, I know we don't have music going right now, but I wish you could step out and do a little dance, do a little movement, maybe walk around in a circle in the aisle real quick. Come on, faith something. Do something in faith, not because you feel like it. Trust me, none of us probably feel like being here right now. Do something in faith right now. Take a step in faith, and God is going to turn to you, and He is going to reach out. Woo! Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Not because I feel like it. In your face, devil. I don't feel like it, but here I am. Here I am dancing because I have faith in my Creator. Woo, Jesus. Come on, that's it. That's it. Faith. Faith it. Faith it right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you need something right now, He's got it for you. Step out in faith. Claim it. You may not can see it with your eyes, but step out right now in faith and God's going to give it to you. Woo, Jesus. If you've been needing something from Him, I want you to thank Him for it right now. He's going to give it to you. Faith it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Woo. Woo, there's something about when you start operating in faith instead of just your feeling. See, flesh owns your feelings, but it doesn't own your faith. And when you step out in faith, you're stepping out from under Satan, out away from, you're pushing Satan away, and you're claiming victory in Jesus' name. Woo! There's power in doing something in faith rather than just because you feel like it. Jesus, you can return to your seats. I'm not going to take long. We have had a moving of God, but He's not finished yet. Look at your neighbor and say, He's not finished yet. We're fixing to have an altar call here in a little bit, and God is going to do some things, revive some things in some people's life. I'm believing on it with my whole heart. Jesus, praise God, praise God. You know, I was thinking kind of just some stories in the Bible, and I was thinking about Adam and Eve. Of course, that's a pretty common one, being that it's in the first three chapters of the Bible. And so I'm actually going to read that, Genesis 3, 1 through 5. I'm going to read, we'll turn there real quick. Just bear with me, my voice is recovering. So, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden? This is Satan talking to Eve. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You know, most of the time when I read this story, I get pretty frustrated. Does anyone else get that way? Just being honest, because of the fact that all of our lives were changed in that moment. You know, some stories you read in the Bible and you're like, man, you either get inspired or you can get frustrated, but maybe not affected you that much. But this one kind of had a big deal to do with all of us. So I take it kind of personal, you know. You're like, man, that crazy woman and man, tell you what, something else. And, I mean, they had it perfect. I mean, everything perfect. Can you imagine? I mean, just phenomenal. And you know, as I read this story, though, I realize how good of a devil the devil really is. You know, and I was reading that, and I was like, man, he is kind of sneaky. You know, God, when he said it earlier in the word, he said, listen, that's the tree. And if you eat thereof, you're going to get the knowledge of good and evil. And you don't want that. You know, when I read that, I kind of caught that vibe. I was like, yeah, I don't want that. But then all of a sudden when I read it and the devil was saying it, it kind of sounded good. knowledge sounded kind of good. Does that make sense? Like God said it and you're like, oh yeah, I don't want to touch that, you know? And then all of a sudden the devil words it a little bit different. And all of a sudden you're like, I kind of like to know, you know? I like being smart, you know? I'm like, I think I need to know, you know? And so you realize, or I realized in that moment, I was like, he is a sneaky little sucker, you know? I mean, that joker slithering around, and of course right there, to catch Eve as she was a little hungry. Now, I'm working, that's a different message that hit me like 30 minutes ago, and I can't preach on that because I'm not knowledgeable about that right now. But God showed me a little something about that, and he was like, you know, if she wouldn't have been hungry, she wouldn't have been around that tree. Sometimes we get around the wrong stuff when we're hungry, and it cost us. Anyways, I'm not going there yet, huh? It's easy to get caught up there. All right, another sermon. And reword some things to deceive her, the enemy did. And from that day on, life would never be the same. Life would be full of heartaches, trials, the men working hard, the women having to give birth, and I wouldn't want to go through that to save my life, you know? And so, but then I think of Noah too, okay? So the devil got Eve, you know? He got us all, I guess, really. But then I think of Noah. Can you imagine, just put yourself in his shoes for a second, being asked to build a boat, okay? Not just a boat either. Not a little John boat you can drag around to the nearest pond, okay? It's not what we're talking about. We're talking about like a boat to haul giraffes and hippos and elephants. Kind of a big deal, if you get my drift, you know. Kind of a big boat, not really a little boat. And so then the other thing, it wasn't just build a boat. It was like build it on dry land, you know. And so you got this big thing. You know, I don't think they had like cranes and tractors and all that back then. So you got this big ship boat on dry land, okay? So just put yourself, and he was asked, and just soak that in for just a second. You got asked to build a boat. Let's just say right here, okay? Right here in the place of this place, and just this big, massive boat. You got asked to do that. Okay, but then, not just there, they had never seen water, rain before. Like, so not only are you building a boat on dry land, but they have never seen waterfall. Nowadays, we would be like, well, it's probably going to rain, and maybe this is going to fill up and float the boat away. That wasn't the thought process back then. They didn't know it could rain. Okay, pretty crazy to realize that. So can you imagine the questions of asking yourself and other people asking? Be like, what you doing, Noah? Oh, you know, just building a boat. just building a boat. What are you building a boat for? You know? And going into those details, try that out. You know, and then the next question, how are you going to get that in water, Noah? You know, how's that going to happen? And who is this for? You know, like, who is this boat for? No, imagine, get with me. The questions start rolling, okay? But inside yourself and other people asking, you know, what you doing there? And then, you know, his reply, well, it's going to flood. Huh? What's a flood? You know, hadn't seen rain before. What's a flood? You know, so you're like, here we go. And then, wait a second. It sounded like you said you were going to get two of every kind of animal on that boat. How's that going to happen, Noah? You animal whisperer, you know? You're going to just whisper and all the animals. You got one of those whistles and all of them are going to start running, you know? Can you imagine? I mean, how big? Because you can imagine he's starting out, you know? At first you can't. It looks like he's probably building a house at first, you know? And then... how big are you going to build that thing? And how are you going to do that? And then the final, I can just hear it echoing. That's not going to happen. You're crazy. You know? You put yourself in their position. And then imagine, I put myself now in a different position, is my family having to take on the criticism too. You know? Because when one person's crazy in your family, you're all crazy. You know, that's the deal anyways. You know, you don't really just break. So you got, you know, kids and wife, and so it's not only him, but then he's doing this, getting asked all these questions, and then he's got to watch. Me being criticized is one thing, but if you start hating on my wife, we're going to have a serious problem, you know? Like, we're going to have a problem at that point. You start making fun of her, I can handle it. Or you start making fun of little Paisley, you're going to get your two front teeth knocked out. Sorry. You're going to have to lose the Holy Ghost for a second. And so, no, I'm just saying, imagine the criticism coming against his family at this point. And the boat just gets bigger and bigger. It's not one of those things that gets smaller and smaller. It just gets kind of a bigger and bigger deal. Okay? So, but the key here is that he didn't let the enemy talk him out of his salvation. Because when I read that, that was their salvation, is it not? The whole world was about to be wiped out. That was their salvation, that boat. And so I wish someone would make up their mind right now, just right now, in your mind, I'm not going to let the enemy talk me out of what God has for me. Tell yourself that. Tell yourself that. I'm not going to let the enemy talk me out. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not gonna let the enemy. It's easy to say that until people start coming against you. I mean, you know, let's just, can someone grab that little black podium deal over there for me? And I'll tell you what, is anyone in here hungry? Anybody hungry in here? Anybody? No? What? Y'all need to go pray. Y'all know y'all come to church hungry, you know? I'm hungry. Anybody hungry in here? Okay. All right. Thank you. Goodness. Got me nervous. The message about to fail. Just set it right here. I just need something to hold my notes on so I don't get too lost. There we go. Perfect. Bravo. Not too tall. Short guy. All right. So anybody hungry? Anybody like hamburgers? Hamburger. Raise your hand if you like hamburgers. Oh, wow. Okay. Good bunch of hamburger lovers. Okay. All right. Now, do I have some young people? Let me try and see if we have any young. Do I have any hungry young people that like hamburgers? Come up here. Come up here. Join me up here. There we go. Okay, now we got some honesty going in the house. Praise the Lord. All right, we got a bunch of hamburger lovers. All right, good deal. We'll use it. All right. So, let's see. How many of you like tomatoes and lettuce? Stay up here if you like tomatoes and lettuce. If you don't, go sit down. Okay. Thinned them out quick. Don't put lettuce and tomatoes on their burgers. There we go. All right. Let's see. If you don't like mayonnaise and mustard, go sit down. You like mayonnaise and mustard? No. Do you? No? Okay. Well, so you're the only. Sorry, bud. Wasn't intentionally calling you out. But, lucky you. Come sit down over here. We've got a good delivery for you. Go ahead, take a seat. Perfect. We got a delivery coming up for you. Look at that. Y'all didn't know I was this prepared. Woo! Look at that. Anybody like Sonic? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for Sonic. Okay. Amen. Well, go ahead and take it out since you're hungry and all. Make sure and put your straw in your drink. Make sure and don't. I was going to put a tarp down, but I was delayed. Make sure that we don't need any mustard on the floor in here. Brother Ushery would be very disappointed in me. So scoot the table close. It's looking good. Anybody getting hungry yet? It's got some tots in there. Yeah, unwrap that burger. Praise the Lord. Don't hide it. Show it. Show that burger. Don't drop it on the floor. There we go. Take you a bite out of that. See what it tastes like. Oh, hey, one bite. Slow down. All right, set it down. Get you a little drink of that Coke. Praise the Lord. What is that in that cup?
I think it's
nice. Dr. Pepper. Can't go wrong with Dr. Pepper. Sugar with the burn, you know. Just awesome. Awesome. Tots good? Tot? You like tots? Oh, perfect. Okay, good deal. Good deal. Wow. Awesome. Awesome. All right, now slow down. Don't be eating. All these people are going to be running up here attacking you or something like that. Okay, so I hate to tell you this, though, but
did you poison it?
No, it's not that bad. The problem is that hamburger is fake. It's fake. That's a fake hamburger.
No, it's not. It's right there.
No, it's a fake burger. It's a fake Dr. Pepper. It's a fake tater tots. It's not real. What do you have to say?
Why?
It's fake. I'm telling you. I'm telling you that burger's fake. The burger's fake.
I'm going to show you this burger's real.
Don't drip it on the floor. Praise the Lord. Hold on. Slow down. Don't even put it down. It's fake, though. You don't think so? How do you know so? Oh, man. How do you know so?
I know because I can taste it.
You can taste it. Is that reminding anyone of a scripture? Hold on. Let me get Sister Meyer over here to say it.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Ooh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, His holy people, for those who fear Him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Woo! Somebody. Praise God. I think somebody's in this place tonight. And I think the devil is coming against you. And he is trying, in your flesh, and he is trying to convince you that God isn't real. I've been feeling this all day. I think somebody in here, the devil is after you, that God isn't real. I think the enemy in your flesh is telling somebody that Jesus is not willing to fill them up. I feel that strongly. I think the enemy has already convinced some of you that your relationship with God is fake. Praise God. That what you felt this morning, or what you may have felt in the past, that it's all just, it was just in that moment. It was just chills down my spine. It wasn't something real. Take another bite. Praise the Lord. Is it fake? It's fake. How come I can't convince him? How come I cannot convince him that burger right there is fake? Is it filling you up? If you ate just all that, would it just fill you up? True, yeah. I know that for a fact. That's true. It'd have to be probably the double or quarter or double pounder or something like that. So, true, true. That's a very true statement. I wish somebody in this place would taste and see that the Lord is good. Young person, quit letting the enemy talk you out of what God has placed before you. God has placed something before you as real as that hamburger right there. And I'm telling you that it's real. God has placed the Word before you. He has placed the blood. He has placed forgiveness before you. He has placed salvation for you. He has placed encouragement. He has placed courage in front of you. He has placed a relationship in front of you. And He is just waiting on you to taste and see that He is real. Come on, somebody. Musicians, you can come. I'm almost done. Woo. I wish somebody would get a little hangry tonight. We use that phrase, and I love it. I'm not going to lie. I love that word, hangry. For those of y'all that don't have a clue what I'm talking about, you put two words together, hungry and angry, and you get hangry. Don't act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Y'all gone a couple hours without food, and all of a sudden you start screaming at people. Go through the drive-thru with a little Taco Bell lady. I need a bean burrito, you know. I'm mad at her because you waited too long to eat. Bless your heart. Bless their heart. Hangry. I wish somebody would get hangry for the things of God. Your flesh has kept you away from the table for too long. I say to you tonight, get up in faith and make your way to what God has set before you. Could we just stand up? Tell your flesh, get out of the way. Tell the enemy to get out of the way. Tell the person sitting beside you, excuse me. You can try and be nice, but if the hangry comes out, they'll know. They're here. They're listening. All right? If the hangry comes out, well, you tell that person, you say, excuse me, the dinner bell's ringing, and I can't sit here any longer. I got to get to the table. I wish somebody would tell their neighbor that and make their way down here tonight. I'm telling you that God has something for you sitting at the table tonight. I'm telling you that this altar has what you need in it tonight. You've been going around wondering, can't find it, can't figure it out, living with the void in your life. And I'm telling you that the table is prepared tonight, and you just got to sit down at it. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley, you aren't stopping. If you stopped in the valley, get to walking, because that's not what the Scripture says. Though I walk through the valley, you're not intended to stay there. I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Come on, this is Scripture right here. He's prepared a table for you tonight. Woo! You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Some of you have been going around empty. Some of you are half full or half empty. Woo! My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Come on, He set a table in front of you. The table is set if you'll quit standing around with your enemies. He prepares the table before my enemies. The enemies are sitting there watching. And if you're not sitting at the table, you're watching with the enemy. Oh, Jesus. Come on. Quit standing around with the enemy debating if it's real or not. Quit debating if it's truly there. And sit down and start eating. Sit down and take a bite out of what He has for you. You're going to find it's real. The enemy is still going to be there trying to talk you out of it. I'll tell you that. But you keep it, but you keep busy, and you become consumed by Him, and your cup is going to be overflowing. Come on, take a bite tonight. Take a bite tonight. Take a bite. The enemy has been trying to pull you away from the table. He's been whispering in your ear. You've been sitting at the table, and all of a sudden the enemy grabbed your attention, and you quit eating, and that's your problem. You quit munching on what God has for you. Now you're sitting there, and you got something talking in your ear, and He's about to talk you into leaving the table. And I'm here to fight that tonight and say, sit down and start eating, because the table is ready. Praise God. Come on. Tonight, right now, I wish that we would just take advantage of what He has placed before us. I wish if you may have walked away from the table that you would repent, you would say sorry, you would mean it, and you would sit down and you would spend some time munching at the table. Praise God. Could we just worship together? Could we eat together at the altar?
You Hallelujah. The fire. Provide the sacrifice, and you provide the spirit.